joke. You're listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show. And who do we have on the show right now? Who are you?
Rocky and Dina. I'm Dina.
I'm Rocky.
Please explain, who are you, Rocky and Dina?
Well, I don't know. We come from Toronto via New York City and Thunder Bay. And we're into good music.
And via the plague there, Thunder Bay, the connection, please, Rocky.
Indeed. The plague were a 60s band out of Thunder Bay, mid-60s, fronted by a guy named Tommy Horrocks.
That's what we just heard, by the way.
Yeah.
After the word of the day, we heard the plague.
That's right. And my grade 7 music teacher, Lynn McEachran, happened to be the drummer in that band, according to Mark Coulivan. Anyway.
And that was The Plague, kicking off the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show with Dina Rocky, and also coming up very shortly, an interview, a live interview with Melissa Oftemauer.
Can't wait for that one.
Melissa Oftemauer from Montreal, Dina. And Montreal, of course, you're from New York, mm-hmm. which is very close to Montreal, is known for the legendary Gruesomes. The Gruesomes, Rocky. So we're going to explore Melissa Oftemauer's mod past. Now, I have interviewed her before on the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show, but why not again with Melissa Oftemauer? So that's coming up very shortly in the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show, a live phone interview. Actually, if anybody has any questions for Melissa Oftemauer, it's 822-2487-604-UBC-CITR. If you want to ask Melissa Oftemauer any questions about, I guess, whole smashing... What do you know, Melissa Oftemauer from Dina?
Well, whole mostly, but she's also a photographer, I understand, and got a good solo career going.
Yeah, have you ever seen any of her photos?
No, I don't think I have.
That's what I want to ask her about, some of her photos, what her photos are actually about. Recently, some of them, I think, were auctioned off at Sotheby's. She's already getting stuff auctioned at Sotheby's. Have you, Rocky, wanted to get anything from Sotheby's? What's the most you've paid for a rare record?
The most I paid for a rare record was probably $15 for a Pandora single or something like that.
A Pandora single! And there is a connection to Melissa Oftemauer from the Pandoras because Kim Shattuck, rock and roller from the...
Pandoras and the Muffs.
Pandoras and the Muffs. Where's that dress? You know, she wears that baby doll dress. And there's a rumor going on, or I guess there has been for years, that maybe that baby doll dress was passed from Babes in Toyland to the Muffs. back to Courtney Love, back and forth. So I just want to get to the bottom of that. So maybe Melissa Oftemauer will be able to get to the bottom of that. So it all comes together on an Arbroady Human Serviette radio show here in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. So we began with The Plague, a 1960s band. Did we say they were from the 1960s, Rocky?
Yes, we did.
The mid-60s
from Thunder Bay. We wish that we could have played something by Paul Schaefer's band.
The Fugitives,
but I don't think they recorded anything, according to Mark Coulivan. I did check with him.
Okay, good. Yeah. I also met the former mayor of Thunder Bay, David Hamilton, one time, and he played in a band called the Herbs, but they only had an acetate, and I wasn't able to get it. So, you know, the history of Thunder Bay rock and roll is kind of sketchy as far
starts
as
and stops with The Plague.
Yeah, sort of, yeah, and the Jarvis Street Review, I guess.
And moving up to modern-day times, like the Dinks from Thunder Bay.
Yeah.
And who else from Thunder Bay? Paul Schaefer is from Thunder Bay. And wasn't, like, Bobby Curtola or Paul Anka from Thunder Bay as well?
Bobby Curtola was indeed from Thunder Bay, yes.
Fortune Teller, and at that time, Thunder Bay was called Fort William!
Fort William and Port Arthur, that's right. And I grew up in Fort William, so you got to be, you know, careful about that. You got to tell them which side of the city, or which of the cities, the two cities they used to be called.
I kind of like going back and thinking about things and how they all come together. And this past week, there was an article in the Vancouver Province on Chuck Cadman. Now, who is Chuck Cadman? You're from Toronto. Do you know who Chuck Cadman is, Rocky?
Yes, I do. He's an independent MP.
From Surrey, British Columbia, Canada. Actually, his son tragically died years ago, and he played in a band called Seaman, and so Chuck kind of was moved into politics, and he's always been an interesting fellow, but I never knew that he played in a garage band. And Tom Harrison from the Vancouver Province last Sunday had a cool article all about Chuck Cadman's garage band. And again, it kind of comes together here, because you guys pulled out a CD, which I played last week on an Arbroady Human Serviette radio show. What CD did you pull out here, Dina?
Let's Go by The Guess Who. I believe it's a compilation of CBC sessions.
And you love The Guess Who, don't you?
I like them. I wouldn't say I love them, but I do like them.
I love The Guess Who, too. And I guess last week I said I may be moving on to Burton Cummins' solo career. But we'll go back to The Guess Who. But on this particular record by The Guess Who, it's kind of sessions from the Let's Go TV series. And what's really interesting is I've seen episodes of this TV series, and one of the bands playing on the TV series is none other than The Fringe. And I never knew it was Chuck Cadman's band. I just knew it was this totally freaky, way out, crazy band, because like you see The Guess Who performing and they're kind of nerdish, like myself, but you see The Fringe and they just look like the most drugged out crazies in the world, really, really scary, super long hair, and now Tom Harrison reveals them to be Chuck Cadman's band. Well, we have here on cassette right now Chuck Cadman's band The Fringe for you guys to hear out there in Radioland. It was supplied to me by Mark Coulivan, a record collector from Toronto. While I cue this up, Rocky, maybe you could mention a bit about Toronto and Mark Coulivan and how you discovered 60s garage rock.
Oh, how I discovered 60s garage rock? Wow. Mostly reading Cream magazine and moving backwards. Well, I grew up in the 60s, but, you know, I got a little taste of it here and there. But, I guess in the 80s I started to get interested in it again, and from Cream and other sources, and finally started writing for fanzines in the late 80s via Dave O'Halloran and Arena. Midnight Records from New York City. Yeah, ordered tons and tons of good garage music from there, and eventually started listening to David Wisdom's Nightline show on CBC, and he would have guests such as the aforementioned Mark Coulivan, great record collector from Toronto, and again, that follows the story even further. Got to hear stuff that Mark would bring in, like early Neil Young stuff, you know, the Pharaoh and stuff like that, and you know, just keeps rolling along. Through what wave, I guess I met Glynis Wilson, who was doing her own fanzine called Feline Frenzy, and I wrote for her for about 10 years. So it was really cool, and continues on today. I recently had an article that I had written originally, an interview with Satan and the D-Man that I had...
And we're going to hear some Satan and the D-Man from Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Winnipeg 64, where it all began with Neil Young and the Squires. Actually, we should say props out to Neil Young's dad, who recently passed away just this past week there. Scott Young,
yes.
The father of
indeed.
Neil Young.
Yeah.
And right now, we're going to play a band called The Fringe, again featuring Chuck Cadman. I'm not sure if he's singing or not, but the name of the band is The Fringe. The song is Plastic People, and this is from a Quality Records release from 1968. This is Chuck Cadman's first rock and roll band, and they are featured on the Let's Go TV series. That episode hasn't been released yet, but when it has, you will just be completely blown away. And then after that, we're going to play some Satan and the Demon, and Satan and the Demon are from Winnipeg, and Rocky afterwards will tell us all about it. And then a little while later, after that, we're going to be talking to Melissa Oftemauer from Montreal, Quebec, whose mom apparently was one of the first DJs, first female DJs out of Montreal, Quebec, Canada. The Fringe with Chuck Cadman. Thank you, Tom Harrison, for revealing this amazing fact. It is so amazing that it is actually not starting properly. I hope it is not recording. Oh, well, it's funny, you know, there's all these stuff in the news these days about cassette tapes and recording politicians and stuff. Maybe there's some weird thing where you can't play politicized music anymore over the CITR airwaves. So let's try. It's not playing too well here. Let's go back to this one right here and try to play again some Chuck Cadman and his band, The Fringe. How about this? Okay, that's cassette one, and let's see if any of that is happening. Are we being denied a chance to be able to hear Chuck Cadman's band? This would really be sad. You know what? We're going to have to investigate why Chuck Cadman's cassette is not playing here. I did this huge build-up now, Rocky, and we aren't able to play any Chuck Cadman. So, because we can't play any Chuck Cadman, we're going to play some Satan and the Demon. So, while I cue up the Satan and the Demon, Rocky, Sir County, and Dina, could you please tell me a bit about Satan and the Demon from Winnipeg?
Actually, we're from Kenora.
Sorry about that.
But Kenora is...
They're on Eagle Records out of Winnipeg.
Winnipeg, that it really doesn't matter too much. Satan and the D-Man were just a rock and roll band from the mid-60s that started out in Kenora, a little town of about, I don't know, maybe at the most 5 or 10,000 people in northwestern Ontario. And they basically got started from the roots of bands like the XLs and others in the Kenora area, basically surf bands, instrumental bands, and around 62 or 63 and heading into 64 when the Beatles hit, all those bands, like so many other parts of the planet, everybody started saying, we need a vocalist, we need to, you know, get onto the charts, we need to be a top 10 success. So they decided to switch from being just a plain ordinary show band to becoming an actual rock and roll band. And they figured on the way home from a gig one time, they played a terrible gig. They were called the Tempests at one point. They even had three backing vocalists, female backing vocalists, and they called themselves the Temptations, the three girls. But they finally decided that they needed a rougher, tougher, more dangerous sounding name. So the drummer John Kerouacky had a goatee, and he said, we should call ourselves, we played like hell, let's call ourselves Satan and the Demon.
And here are Satan and the Demon, live on CITR, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, the Nardwuar to Human Survey Radio Show with Rocky, Dina, me, Nardwuar, and then coming up, Melissa Oftemauer, but I'm sorry, no Chuck Cadman at this present time, no Chuck Cadman, no recordings of Chuck Cadman from 1968 and his band, The Fringe, but we're going to work on trying to get that to you, if not this week, in subsequent weeks. Satan and the Demon with Chill Lie.
Tell you how mean a girl can be. She'll put you down and she'll break your heart. She'll build you up open and she'll tear you apart. And tonight is crying to win your heart, to leave you alone to the heart of tonight. Don't believe in tonight. I once had a girl who treated me mean. Let me tell you how bad a girl can be. She said she found somebody new, and then she left me alone, kind of blue. And she lied, she lied, she lied. She lied. Because we're through. And she lied, lied, she 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 lied, she
you're listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And who was that, Rocky?
That was Satan and the D-Man.
With?
She Lie.
From?
Kenora, Ontario.
Almost close to?
Winnipeg, Manitoba.
And as part of the Vox Best of Winnipeg Eagle Records 64-65 series. And we were talking a little bit about record collecting and stuff, and we have a caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I am.
Please, go ahead. Who are you?
Rocking Patrick. And I just realized how old I am because Mark Coulavin and I were DJs at CITR 20 years ago, 1985.
Wow. And do you have a Mark Coulavin tidbit you'd like to add at all?
He used to be really, really into rockabilly. That was his big thing.
Yeah, I think he still is to
In
some
fact,
extent.
I remember he had some sort of a rockabilly show.
Yes, he did. Top of the Bops, it was
Something
called.
Something like that. Yeah, that's it. That's
Top of the Bops.
And Mark Coulavin is from Grenoble, France.
I did not know that.
Well, I'm from Paris, France, so that's why him and I used to hang around.
Well, thank you very much for the shout-out. Now, would you like to hear it all, Patrick? Chuck Cadman's first band.
I sure would.
The Fringe.
I sure would.
Have you ever heard of The Fringe before? Because
Never.
We have got the cassette deck working now. It is working now, so we should be able to display Chuck Cadman's first band, actually, maybe his second band, but anyway, a recorded document of Chuck Cadman, The Fringe, Plastic People, from Quality, 1908. That was the actual serial number. As recorded by Mark Coulavin on a cassette made for me called Am I Asking for Too Much? I always asked him for a lot. It's called Am I Asking for Too Much, Volume 2. Well, anything else you wanted to add at all, Patrick?
Well, the only thing that has changed as well is that now I look like Mr. Cadman. Mr. Cadman now, not Mr. Cadman 40 years ago.
Which I think is great.
Well,
you have the look of democracy.
Woohoo.
Well, thank you much, Patrick, and doot-doot-a-loot-doo.
Hey, keep on working, dude.
Doot-doot-a-loot-doo.
Doot-doot.
And here we go with Chuck Cadman's band, The Fringe. Please, please, from 1968, please. Please, Chuck. Chuck. Listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Caller, are you there? Hello, caller. Hello, are you still... What the hell? It's weird. You play some Chuck Cadman tunes, and then the alarm goes off. The alarm has basically gone off on something. I'm not sure... Is that the cassette? That was an old cassette. That is weird. Caller, are you there? The caller is gone. Sorry about that, Mike. The caller is gone. Are you there, Rocky?
Yeah,
are you still
I'm
there?
Still here.
Please
I'm
move close
I'm
to the mic.
Yeah. I'm still here.
That was weird, wasn't it?
Oh, that was totally weird.
What the hell happened?
I don't know.
It was impossible to get the cassette deck to play Chuck Cadman's band.
And
we
then we
played Chuck Cadman's band, and then afterwards, it was like the tape self-destructed. It's like the Gruol tapes. What the hell
yeah,
is going on?
That's what I was thinking. Another public inquiry is in order.
This is like really bizarre. But again, it was Chuck Cadman's band from 1968 to Fringe. What did you think of it, Rocky?
I thought it was pretty cool. I mean, definitely product of its time, you know?
The Fringe from 1968. We're waiting now for Melissa Oftemauer from Montreal, Quebec, Canada, to phone into the Nard Body Human Serviette radio show. And before she phones in, we thought we'd warm up to people with maybe some more Canadian rock and roll of the garage persuasion, because Melissa, deep down, is a garage rocker, even though some people would say she does prog rock. And to be brutally honest, I'm not sure if CITR actually added her last CD to the playlist this last time around. We individual shows did play her. But we're going to play right now here the Great Scots. And there's a Great Scott connection to kind of famous celebrity, isn't there, Rocky? Please explain. The Great Scots.
That's correct. Legend has it that that Mike Duffy of CTV might have been a manager of one of the precursor bands to the Great Scots called the Beavers. Now this again, see, we should just kick me off the air and have Mark Coulivan fly out here, because these are all mostly
we
his stories.
We verified that with Mark Coulivan, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't kick Mark Coulivan off the air when we find out that it's not right.
No, well, that's true. And maybe we'll put Mike Duffy in touch with Mark and let them fight it out.
But this is a great Scots, a kilt-wearing group.
Yeah.
They used to have Mohawks as the Beavers, as managed by Mike Duffy from CTV, who probably has interviewed Chuck Cadman for sure. So hopefully there's
no doubt.
Hopefully there's no gremlins going on. Assuming it's also about the great Scots. I think they were actually on American Bandstand. They might be like one of the first Canadian bands to be like on American Bandstand.
Yeah, they renamed themselves the Free For All when they were making their album in L.A.
And actually, there's a Canadian connection of the Vancouver persuasion to the great Scots. Of course, they are Canadian because local band The Real McKenzies, featuring Paul McKenzies from The Enigmas, also featured on Oh God, My Mom's on Channel 10, a compilation that I think you know and I know very well. The Enigmas did a song called Charlie on there, but of course Paul later got into The Real McKenzies. So every time I hear The Great Scots, I think of The Real McKenzies and I think of Paul McKenzie of The Enigmas, of also fame of another band called TT Racer. But this is The Great Scots wearing kilts in about mid-60s out of Nova Scotia, right?
Right on.
And coming after that, an interview with Melissa Oftemauer from Montreal, Quebec. And if she's not there, we'll probably continue playing stuff. Please make this be no curse of Chuck Cadman or Mike Duffy. Please play, please play, please play.
Yeah.
You're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwater Human Serviette Radio Show. And we have Dina in the house. We have Rocky in the house on the Nardwater Human Serviette Radio Show. And hopefully coming up, we have Melissa Oftemauer as well. And we just heard there, Rocky, the Great Scots.
The Great Scots.
As managed by Mike Duffy.
Yeah, I guess so, at one point.
And who have you brought with you? Who is Dina? Could you explain who Dina is?
Dina Canale is my wife and a wonderful encyclopedia of rock and roll.
Good Lord.
She's a great fan of all kinds of rock and roll, a lot of 60s stuff. And we, a few years ago, met at Las Vegas Grind.
Well, we initially met online via the Bomp List.
The Bomp List. R.I.P. to Greg Shaw, by the way. And we met online, we met in person, we fell in love, we got married, we combined record collections, and we have now, you know, a rock and roll lifestyle. What can I say?
And a joint appearance in an already
yeah, well, this is one of the toppers of our, you know, of our
We don't sound like a, but
adventures.
We do actually have some radio experience. Our buddy Christian Hamilton, one of the 60s goddesses of the Toronto scene, has a show called Dementia 13 on CIUT FM 89.5 in Toronto. It's 6 p.m. on Monday nights. I guess that would be 3 p.m. here on www.ciut.fm. And we fill in occasionally, like once every 6 weeks or so, if she wants to go back home or whatever. If she wants to slack off, she calls us in and we fill in for her.
And Dina, you are an American, aren't you?
Absolutely.
From New York.
Mm-hmm.
And you love the Velvet Underground, don't you?
Among many bands,
what do you think about that Velvet Underground rediscovery of that acetate? Did you read about that? That acetate being discovered of the Velvet Underground?
Yeah, I think I heard about that a while
back. Like I found it at a thrift store?
Yeah, in a crate or something, just by accident. And we're not sure who owned it previous to that, but it's worth megabucks from what I understand.
What is your knowledge of the Velvet Underground? What sort of Velvet Underground rarities do you have?
Oh, geez. I'm not much of a record collector. I'm more of a, I don't know.
Well, a thought collector. What do you know about the early Velvet Underground? Because we have some queued up right now. We have some early Lou Reed with the Primitives doing Do the Ostrich. What can you say about Do the Ostrich or some early Lou Reed?
He was sort of a hack songwriter for some Long Island City-based, I don't know, they put together these crazy novelty records, and that's how I met John Cale, because I think John Cale was employed by the same firm or something, and I guess they're both involved in this band. On the plane ride over here, I read All Tomorrow's Parties by Clinton Halen, which is sort of a, compiles articles written about the Velvet Underground from 65 to 71, so.
Did they ever talk about their early time together writing tunes? Because they wrote quite a few tunes, like they wrote tunes for the Downliner Sect, right? That Billy Childish covered, like Why Don't You Smile Now? Like, which is really cool, like the Downliner Sect, the British band, were covering the Velvet Underground, basically, before the Velvet Underground, or actually even the Velvet Underground, right?
Yep.
And we have here, Do the Ostrich. What is Lou Reed doing on this record? You know, is he singing, or is this an instrumental?
I think he's singing.
So this is Lou Reed singing pre-Velvet Underground, courtesy Rocky and Dina on the Nardwuar Human Surveyor Radio Show, and then hopefully coming up after that, some Melissa Off Do Mauer.
Okay, when everybody settles down now, we got some new going to show you. So I'm not you said when we come up side to edge. You get ready? You said here we go, yeah.
Guy, and I can only sit and cry because
Then you go walking by with some other guy, and I can only sit and cry because you're gone. Oh, because you're gone, yeah, yeah. Baby, I love you so, and I know that when I see you go, someone else could ever take your place. Oh, yes, I will. With some other guy, and I can only sit and cry because you're gone. Oh, because you're gone, yeah. Baby, you've been and gone. I don't know what was, but I guess I'm someone else would ever take your place. And if I don't let go, I'll see your face. I love you, baby. I love you still. I'll try to kiss you. Oh, yes, I will. I hear you walking by with some other guy, and I can only sit and cry because you're gone. Yeah, 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 because you're gone. Yeah, 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 because you're gone. Hey, hey, because you're gone.
You're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. The Mad Body Human Serviette Radio Show here today. And who do we have in the studio still? Please identify yourselves.
Rocky.
And Dina.
Rocky and Dina. And coming up very shortly, an interview with Melissa Offthemauer, who you might know from her first band, Tinker, from Montreal, Quebec. But what we just heard there was, what did we just hear, Rocky and Dina?
That was the Nocturnals, a BC band, I believe, from the mid-60s, off the History of Vancouver Rock Volume 2. And we wanted to play that. Shout out to our pals, the Whammies, who happened to cover that song. Not too many Toronto bands covering the Nocturnals, I don't think.
And we just picked that up at Neptune Records yesterday.
And before that, I'm not even sure what we played. What did we play before that? Was that the ending
that
with the Great Scott?
Oh, no, it was Lou Reed and the Primitives.
Oh, the Ostrich, Duty Ostrich.
Yeah.
That really was Lou Reed singing then.
Oh, was it?
You could tell it was Lou Reed.
Oh, yeah.
And that was off a compilation called Mondo Frat Go Go.
That's
and speaking of the go-go sound, you guys now live in Toronto, but another guy lives in Toronto from Montreal, Flipped Out Phil, and we have a little connection to him right now that we're going to play before Melissa Offthemauer comes up.
That's right.
What is that?
Well, he is now the singer for the Whammies, but he also used to be the singer for a band called Platon Le Cave, who appeared on one of the Nardwuar compilations, I believe.
And Platon Le Cave also featured Bobby Beaton from...
The Gruesomes.
From The Gruesomes, from Montreal. And we're going to find out very shortly if Melissa Offthemauer remembers much about The Gruesomes. I know she does know a lot about The Gruesomes. We'll probably play some Gruesomes, too, after we play some Les Houlops here. The name of the song here is Oh No, and it's actually the English version of Oh No.
Oh No.
Because there's actually a French version of Oh No. Although, isn't Oh No the same in French and English, saying Oh No?
Oh No.
Oh no, it's the same thing over and over.
It's totally the same thing.
This really is the English version of Oh No. And Platon Le Cave were a great band, weren't they? Like, they dressed up in toga. Did you ever see them, Dina?
Not live, no, I've seen photos.
We've heard about the toga.
They wore the togas, they did the twist, they modeled themselves after a 60s Quebecois boss, César et le Roman band, and they were just really awesome. And this is a song that they did called Oh No, but this is not, again, Platon, this is the original by Les Houlops. Lops on the Nardwuar, the Human Serviette Radio Show with Dina and Rocky, and coming up, Melissa Offthemauer. Ah! You're still listening to CITL Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show. And who do we still have on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show?
Rocky.
And Dina.
What did we just hear there?
We just heard the Saxons from Palm Beach, Florida.
Although we kind of want the Saxons to be from New York, don't we?
We would have, you know, it should all tie together, but sometimes it just doesn't. Sometimes a good song is just a good song, you know?
But I'm sure we could find some sort of connection between garage in Florida or death metal in Florida and death metal and New York hardcore in New York. And, of course, we have that connection right here, the expert of forgotten New York, Dina. You're also an expert of forgotten New York, aren't you?
Hardly an expert.
Well, you have a blog you wanted to mention.
Yes.
I'd like you to mention, please.
Certainly I will. It's called streetsyoucrossed.blogspot.com. VelvetUnderground.com. Actually, the full title is It's All the Streets You Crossed Not So Long Ago. I took the title from a Velvet Underground song called Sunday Morning.
Of which we heard a bit earlier. Well, kind of. We heard Dee Dee Ostrich, and that really was Lou Reed, which is amazing. And that really was Chuck Cadman, too, that we heard a little while back.
Mm-hmm.
There. Please, could you give the Earl up one more time, a bit slower,
okay,
for the people to take in?
Certainly. StreetsYouCrossed.blogspot.com. And it's all about old rock and roll sites in New York City history that some of them aren't open anymore, some of them are.
Yeah, what's going on with CBGB's? Do you know?
I've heard it may close by the end of the summer.
For sure?
There's people trying to save it, like Donna Gaines and other people have worked up a campaign to save it, but I don't know.
Do you like it?
Do I like CBGB's? I grew up there. It's a bit of a toilet, but...
Yeah, including, speaking of which, that's an interesting feature of the place, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. But, I don't know, the bookings in the last few years haven't been all that great, but, you know, it shouldn't close down. I think it should definitely.
And on your blog, what do you profile? Because there's that website, Forgotten New York City, which I love,
right,
which shows all those manholes and, like, secret subway entrances. Is there really a lot of stuff like that in New York City?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's not getting wrecked, it's just, like, keeps staying up there over and over again?
Those things that remain for decades, although... The city is changing and becoming a playground for the rich more and more.
What are some of your favorite things from Forgotten New York City?
Oh, gee, I like the old painted signs and the advertising, and I just dig it. It's forgotten-newyork.com. I'm not affiliated with it at all, but it's worth a look if you're into that stuff.
And speaking of a New Yorker, I think she's going to be phoning in, like, right now! It could be Melissa Oftemauer on the line. So right now, we are going to play some Gruesomes from Montreal, Quebec. And then we're going to ask Melissa Oftemauer about it all on the Nardwuar, the Human Serviette Radio Show.
No, we don't know how to do it, but here's the song... There's a song that we got off the Flintstones, so that's good enough.
All right, let's do it.
It's called Fred's Had Too Much Cactus Juice. It's called My Broken Heart Will Never Mend Unless You Come Back With The Glue. Ready?
My broken heart will never mend, oh no. You turned me down, I was the end, whoa, whoa. Cause the day I found out we were through, well, the day I found out I love you, now my broken heart will never mend unless you come back with the glue. Turn me down, I was the end, whoa, whoa. Was the day I found out we were through. Was the day I found out I loved you. Now my broken heart will never mend unless you come back with the glue.
And you're listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show, and who do we have on the line right now? Hello, are you there?
I am here. I'm actually on Burrard and some other Vancouver streets. And even though I could have been calling you from any city in the world, I chose to call you from your home city of Vancouver. It's Melissa Oftemauer. Hi, Nardwuar.
Thank you so much for phoning in. This is a long-distance call for you, even though you're in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. So it makes me ask you right off the bat, what are you doing in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, Melissa Oftemauer on Burrard Street?
I was tracking some drums. My, I was not playing them myself. I wish I could play drums, but I was in town for 48 hours in, I guess, the greatest drum room in Canada, which is Brian Adams' Fancy Dancy Studio, The Warehouse, and I was recording the first two songs for my record. My new record, which I've been writing for the past 6 months, or since the kind of last time I saw you, since I got off tour.
And Sam from Interpol was hanging out with you? Was he doing some drumming?
Right. That's right. Sam was actually the first drummer I invited to sort of to crash the bottle of champagne symbolically on the beginning of my new record. And Sam's one of my favorite drummers. And I decided on this record I want to try some tasteful, classy drumming to contrast the heavy, heavy rock drumming.
Do you play drums yourself at all, Melissa Oftemeyer?
No, I am unable. I have a really good 80s drum machine, though, that I get lots of ideas from, but that's as much as I can do.
What exactly do you do, Melissa Oftemeyer? Your photos were recently auctioned off at Sotheby's. Did I hear something about that? Melissa Oftemeyer's photos at Sotheby's?
I did have, that was a couple, like 2 years ago, I had an exhibit of my my rock photography, actually, even though I don't only do that stuff, but it was sort of touring photography over the years. I had a group show with my friend Yelena Yemchuk, who's another amazing rock photographer type girl, and we had a show at Sotheby's. They were trying to expand their, usually they only have, like, things like Picasso paintings on exhibit over there, and for some reason they wanted to like open up to the more cutting edge youth culture, and they gave us a room to have a show in, and we exposed some of our rock photography.
What do your photos look like, Melissa Oftemeyer? Actually, if anybody has any questions for Melissa Oftemeyer, like I am posing right now, I'm not a human serviette. It's 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. If you'd like to speak to Melissa Oftemeyer, who is presently traveling to the airport in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, phoning live into the Narwhal Human Serviette Radio Show. But what do your photos look like, Melissa Oftemeyer?
They look like a fuzzy dream version of life as you know it.
Aren't there a lot of fan faces? Didn't you take a lot of fan faces?
I do a lot of fan faces, yes. I actually started way back when I first started touring with Hole. One of the things I, noticed, the biggest change in my life was when I went from playing in tiny clubs in Montreal to about 50 to 100 people to playing my first show with Hole, which was a 65,000 capacity Reading Festival crowd, that from that moment on, I just like those sea of faces, and also just the close-ups of like the people right at the front row and the intensity of that, I started making a routine of taking a picture every show I've ever played. I'd say at least 95% of the shows I've taken a picture from the stage of the crowd, because every single one is a different sort of ocean of people, and it makes for a really amazing collection of photos of all those faces and oceans.
Yeah, like looking back at them, Melissa Oftemeyer, is there anybody you notice in the front row at all? Is there any sort of observations you've been able to make about alternative rock in the late 80s, 90s,
there's a definite reoccurring sort of goth nerd motif, and then obviously with Hole, there was a lot of the blonde Barbie kind of sort of bleach blonde Courtney lookalikes, and then with the Pumpkins, there was a lot more of the gothy peoples, but generally, it's just a look of excitement to be at a rock show, and if I was in that front crowd and someone's thinking, I would look just like them. It's just like anybody who loves being in a sweaty pit of a show.
Anybody that was in a rock band or became in a rock band, like later joined a rock band at all from any of these photos?
Because
I've seen great photos of like Big Black playing in Seattle in the late 80s, and there's Mark Arm right in the front, although he was in bands at that time, like Mr. Epp and stuff like that.
Right.
Or there's like photos of Iggy Pop and Steve Bader
of
the Dead Boys is in the background. You haven't like analyzed them that closely, because I bet there are some rockers
there probably is. I mean, a lot of the people in the crowd are pretty young, so I bet you, yeah, there is a percentage of them that by now are playing in their own bands, and I wouldn't know. I'll have to look back and investigate.
Melissa Oftemeyer, and you are Melissa Oftemeyer. If there's any questions, it's 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR if you want to speak to Melissa Oftemeyer, as I, Nerd What a Human Serviette, am doing right now live in the Nerd What a Human Serviette radio show. Your blog, you have a blog now, Melissa Oftemeyer.
I have a blog. Yeah, I'm a not very proud computer user. I don't really know what I'm doing. But I started experimenting with that because I spent the winter all by myself in a tiny kind of abandoned winter beach town this winter to write my record. My family has a house in Massachusetts where my grandpa retired to, and no one was there for the winter, so I went, and I started feeling really disconnected from the human population because, it's a tiny beach town that nobody lives in except for a few retired school teachers in the wintertime. So I got high-speed internet and started experimenting with communicating cyberly to the planet Earth.
And I was curious, do you ever read any of the comments left on your blog? Because I read one of them, and it said, anyway, this was pretty much pointless, but I just want to say that I have had a very Melissa Ofdemowery day. And it made me think, what is a very Melissa Ofdemowery day? Like, what is a Melissa Ofdemowery day?
I bet you there was a lot of daydreaming, a lot of, like, contemplating how beautiful the mysteries of life are, but then also just having, like, a really good sandwich and then talking to your mother on the phone and then maybe some tea and then listening to your favorite music. A lot of that.
Most often, you're heading to the airport. You're always on the move. Where have you not toured? Like, where did you not tour with your brand new or your most recent CD? Where did you not conquer?
I did not conquer with this one, although with Hole in the Pumpkins I had gone to Japan and Australia, but I didn't manage to get that far yet with this project, but I plan to soon, and in fact, I might later this summer do a one-off show in Taiwan, because Peaches and Vincent Gallo are playing some strange Taiwanese government-sponsored rock concert, and Sonic Youth just pulled out, and my friend that manages Peaches called me up and said, well, do you want to put a band together? Because I don't really have a band when I'm not on tour, but so I'm going to put a band of my friends together and go play Taiwan in July. That I've never done.
That would be
so
incredible.
I plan to kiss the soil of Taiwan with my lips and music, and otherwise I've never really done an extensive tour of South America. That too I would like to do one day. I'd like to go to Mexico and Brazil and such.
Melissa Ofdemowery, when you're not rocking, what exactly are you doing? I saw you did something, Blue Metropolis Conference. What is that? Do you do much stuff like that?
Oh yeah, I have lofty goals of being a teacher one day. I'd like to go back to school and become basically an art teacher. And so I went to a great art school, both elementary, high school, college, and university, and I would love to go back and participate in the educational system. So the Blue Metropolis, I cannot believe you know about that, Nardwar, but of course you do because you know everything. You're wearing your private investigator eyeglasses, and that was an amazing, it's a big literary festival in Montreal, Canada, and I did a workshop on sort of promoting and inspiring people to do creative writing, which could be anything from poetry to journals to letters to just, you know, any kind of personal expression, and I did it with high school students, and it was very lively, couple of afternoons of realizing everyone's got something to say, and they sure like it when you encourage them to say it.
It's great that you're so versatile, Melissa Ofdemowery. Here you are helping about literacy and stuff like that, and in the next moment you're banging head. Do you bang head as much as Tom of Slayer? Because looking at you play, like Tom, have you ever seen Tom of Slayer play?
He is very intense. He's great.
Does he bang?
I do my fair amount, don't I? You've seen me do it, yes?
Yeah, have you ever hurt your head doing that? Because
I've never, ever hurt anything. I have a bit of a bum shoulder, but that's just because of the weight of the bass. But my actual head stuff is really quite easy for me to do.
Because you're getting into it. Like, you are going wild. Are you afraid that, like, young kids might copy you? Like, do you ever say, don't try this at home, young devotee of Melissa Ofdemowery?
No, I do. The only thing that's that my bum shoulder comes from, I don't only swing my head, but I really swing my bass, as one person once described it, like I'm chopping wood with a big axe. So I move my bass around a lot, and that, I'm surprised I haven't hit anyone in the head or hit myself in the head with the bass. That sometimes the bass could be a little dangerous because it's very big and heavy. But I think everyone should be banging their head at home and at the shows and at school and in the cafeteria and in the car.
And Melissa Ofdemowery, you've been known to bang out a Helium cover once in a while, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. Mary Timothy, to me, is the most underrated female musician of my generation. She's absolutely one of my favorite lyricists, and being a bit of a medieval lover myself, I find it amazing her really particular modern brand of medieval music. She's incredible. She's one of my favorite artists of all times, actually.
Weren't you in a band with her called Team Sleep? What was Team Sleep?
That's the guy from the Deftones little side project that he did, and years ago he approached me to do vocals on it, as he did Mary Timoney. He was a fan of both of our music or styles of being or something. But I was in the world before I knew that computers were that easy, and they said, we'll send you some Pro Tools files. And I said, oh, that makes no sense. I couldn't do that. So I actually turned down the opportunity to sing on that record. However, Mary Timoney did get her act together and sang on that record. And that's that nice guy from the Deftones record, and I haven't heard it.
But now you're completely changed, though. You're totally into the computer. You could do it now.
I'm so into computers, yes. I really could.
Girls Against Boys. I forgot about Girls Against Boys, but you love them, don't you?
Oh, my God. How do you have all these? I love Girls Against Boys, and what's funny about you saying that is that when I met Chino from the Deftones, the reason why he asked me to later sing on that project of his is we discovered that we both loved equally Helium and Girls Against Boys, and that's when we knew we were, like, of the same, like, background musically. I loved Girls Against Boys. The first album in particular, Venus Luxure Number One Baby, and a song in particular called Bulletproof Cupid, is one of my favorite songs of all time of that era, you know, Touch and Go, all the good things that came out of Touch and Go. And I absolutely loved them, and I had a very big crush on the singer for many years. There we go.
Whatever happened to them? Didn't they do some reunion gigs a little while back, and didn't one of them end up in publishing or something like that as well?
Yeah, the bassist Johnny has a good, actually, book publishing company, Ashtar Books. He has a lot of books. Eli actually did, Eli, the bass player, keyboard player, he actually did some engineering on my record. It was very fun to have him work on my last record with me. He's a, like, family man with two kids, and they're all redheads, by the way. He married a redhead woman. They all have redhead kids, and it's very hard for redhead women to have redhead kids, so I'm very happy for that family. So the Eli Janney family are very good, and he sort of moved on from the Girls Against Boys thing, but then the guys did do some reunion shows in Europe as recently as, like, 2 months ago.
I think I read something about that. That's why I wanted to ask you.
Yeah,
because you know Melissa Auf-Demauer. You know. You keep track of what's going on. Actually, it's not that hard to keep track of what's going on with Melissa Auf-Demauer because you work with so many different people, like John from Helmet.
John, yeah. John just slept on my couch literally 3 weeks ago when he came through town playing with Battles. And John, I was just speaking actually with Sam from Interpol about, you know, the very few of the best drummers that I consider the best drummers of my generation. And John is way up there, and having him play on the majority of my last record was really a big honor, because when I saw John from Helmet play in 1990 and 91 for the first time, it was one of, like, the many experiences that inspired me to want to play bass with drummers like that. And John is now playing with that amazing combo called Battles with the guitar player from Don Caballero. Ian, you remember them?
Yes.
And yeah, math rock. But it's an incredible, incredible, impressive, very experimental. It's like Tortoise on, like, cyber, super hi-fi technology.
I've actually seen him, and I found out that Tony Braxton, remember the singer Tony Braxton?
Yeah, is that her son?
Her brother is in that band, Tony
Braxton.
That's
who he is. Yeah, Ty, his name is. I knew that he had some sort of famous mother or sibling. Okay, it's Tony Braxton's brother.
And his dad was famous, too.
Right.
His dad was some famous, like, jazz guy as well.
Right, you don't remember his name, eh? Because I was actually trying to tell people that, but I couldn't remember. Yeah, they're great musicians, great, and they're on an amazing tour that might have even come through Vancouver, but maybe not, with some sort of hip-hop sort of, like, beat poetry thing, and it was really incredible to see a lot of, like, the crossing over now of the genres of, like, hip-hop guys watching John Stanier play and, like, being blown away that an actual man can play beats as complex as, like, drum and bass, strange programmed drum machines. And John, like, really was crossing over the line and blowing the minds of these people who normally see program beats.
It's just amazing to see the guy from Helmet set his kid up all around all these laptops. Like, he's just wailing, and then there's laptops all around there.
Yeah.
And you are Melissa Auf-Demauer from Montreal, Quebec. To begin this interview, Melissa Auf-Demauer, I played a bit of The Gruesomes. Did you hear a bit of The Gruesomes there?
A broken heart will never mend, oh no, until you come back with the glue. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
That was so
big.
That was their big hit. It really was. The Flintstones cover. Were you a mod back then? Was that one of the first?
I really was. I went to every single Gruesome show I could from the age of 14 years old on. So I saw that song performed live many times.
And also, were you into Meemaw and Morgenthaler, or was that a bit
those
after?
Those were the two biggest bands of my youth, absolutely. And I, in fact, just reconnected with the Meemaw and Morgenthaler guys because Gus Van Gogh is now, you know, an up-and-coming producer who did the Stills, and this new band from Montreal, which you must put your little spider sense on, Nardwar, and discover Priestess, which are literally the heaviest band to come out of Montreal, Canada since Voivod. But they're not, they're more like Thin Lizzy, AC/DC, Black Sabbath, and the guys who manage and produce the Stills just produced them, are now and they're on Indica Records out of Montreal. And there's a song which I have to find somehow. The record comes out in August called Talk to Her, which I think is one of the best hit rock songs written in decades, let alone out of Montreal, Canada. So I just reconnected with a couple of those Meemaw and Morgenthaler guys, and actually they told me a funny story because they remember me going to their shows from 14 years old on, and I would go with all my girlfriends. And one of the guys from the Stills told me that they referred to me and my group of girlfriends as the Ofdermauer Patch Kids or at the show.
You were quite well known at that time. The Doughboy song Shine, is that really about you, Melissa Ofdermauer?
Oh, it really is. Can you believe it? I have the little handwritten notes with the note with the lyrics that was stuck in my doorway, saying, "This song is about you, Shine," and the lyrics written out.
Are there any other songs about you, Melissa Ofdermauer, over the years?
I don't know.
By any other bands? You haven't been presented with any other songs?
I think it's been more discreet at this point.
None that make you as proud as the Doughboys Shine, Melissa Ofdermauer. Why do you think that, like, the Gruesomes and Meemaw and Morgenthaler didn't do quite as well? Because I thought they did well. To me, they were huge, but why did it take, like, all the way till, like, 2004, 2005 for Montreal to break? To me, Montreal broke in, like, 1985 with Deja Vu
the
Barbecue.
I know, that's what I've been saying. It's always been the coolest place. I mean, it's just that the financial situation in Canada, is fine, and you know, Quebec has always been the most troubled economy, and the boom that just happened just in the past 5 years with the film stuff and finally the property is going up. Now we have the resources to be heard. So there's little labels that are like getting big enough, like of course the Godspeed Black Emperor Empire, that has Constellation Records. It's the beginning of being able to have resources to be heard. So it's just that they weren't loud enough. They didn't have the resources to be heard. We always knew that it was the coolest place, but
yeah, Godspeed
times couldn't hear it yet.
Like, Godspeed were incredible to be, like, on the cover of NME with, like, no picture. They refused to have their picture taken for the cover of the, like, New Musical Express. So it's really taken a long time. But it seems like anytime a band goes to Quebec, like, for instance, like, they exploited when they played in Vancouver. Well, they actually made it across the border. It was a nice gig that happened, amazing. But they never made it into Montreal a little while back, and it was a big riot. Like, pop punk crust music has just been so huge in Quebec. Have you always noticed that, like, pop punk crust punk has
Oh, yeah, the punks are, because the punk is real deal there. I mean, Jesus, there's more homeless punk kids there than, I mean, I guess Vancouver's pretty intense with that stuff because there's so much drugs here. Oh, sorry. It's very hard living in Montreal, you know, because of the economy and because of the plight and the struggle of the French-Canadian people to, be heard and recognized, and also just, it's very passionate and very tough and very intense there, so that's what makes all the good art and makes it such an exciting, colorful place and makes everybody love rock music so much.
Where have you played in Quebec, Melissa Ofdermauer? Like, what sort of cities have you played aside from Montreal and Quebec City? Is there much of a circuit to do?
There is a circuit to do, and I haven't done it because I haven't really been much of a Canadian band until right now. I just moved back to Montreal this spring for the first time in 10 years, so this summer is my first summer in Montreal in 10 years, so after all my years in the States, I'm finally ready to go home, and I have gone home, and now I will maybe sort of look into those circuits more, but I haven't really done them. But I know from local bands that, yeah, there's a lot of ski resorts, a lot of suburban places like Point Claire, the West Island. There's all kinds of, like, rock places at, like, Quebecois rock bars that, like, Stevie Nicks plays at and stuff, you know, like, or, like, the Tea Party, or, you know, there's a rock circuit there, but I just don't know it yet.
Or Matthew Good.
That's right.
Which you were indoctrinized with. The power of Matthew Good and Melissa Ochtemauer on tour across the country. I think you played the Metropolis in Montreal on that tour, didn't you?
We did, yeah.
What is the history of the Metropolis? What's that club like? It's quite a big club, isn't it?
Yeah, and my history there is massive. That's in 1993, November 93, my band Tinker opened up for the Smashing Pumpkins there on the Siamese Dream Tour, and that was the night that, like, changed my life and led Billy Corgan to recommend me to Courtney and all that. So that place has a lot of history for me. My first show I ever played with Hole, my first homecoming show, was at the Metropolis. I mean, and then I've seen all the biggest and best bands there. I mean, I saw Queens of the Stone Age just a couple of months ago there. It's the best place to see a show in Montreal, and I've seen one too many incredible shows there.
Another famous place that I recently went to was Roseland in New York City. Wasn't that the place of a famous Hole gig as well?
Non-international. Sorry, one second, Erdogan. I'm at the airport. Sorry.
We're speaking here to
domestic
Melissa
Ochtemauer. Thank you.
Live on an Ardwetty Human Serviette radio show.
Canada.
If anybody has any questions for Melissa Ochtemauer, it is 604-822-247. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Melissa Ochtemauer is phoning into the Ardwetty Human Serviette radio show on the way to the airport. She has arrived at the airport as well and is presently negotiating her tickets to get on the airplane. Please do not approach anybody that has a cell phone in their ear and has red hair at the airport, because Melissa is live here on an Ardwetty Human Serviette radio show.
Yeah, I'm paying the taxi man, and I'm actually going to Calgary today, of all weird things.
Oh, really? Some more recording?
No, I'm going to visit my friend Laura that brought you your Get Well card.
Oh, right, from Virgin Mary's.
Exactly. Virgin Mary Laura is in Calgary, where she's from, and she had a baby, and I'm going to meet her baby Arlo for the first time. And my mother is actually working in Banff, so I'm going to the Rockies for the first time. My mother works a couple months out of the year at the Literary Banff Center up there, you know, the art center. And so she is all excited to have her daughter come visit her in her place of work so she can show me the gorgeous Rockies.
Was your mom a Playboy bunny at one time, Melissa Ochtemauer?
She really was, but back in the days when it was very prestigious, she worked at the Playboy Club in Montreal when it was a prestigious thing to do. She put herself through McGill University by waitressing at a Playboy Bunny Club, and she had her 8x10 that I grew up always giggling at and showing my girlfriends of her. With her little satin ears and little bunny outfit, and they renamed her Natasha because she looks slightly Eastern European, although she's Black Irish, so they called her Bunny Natasha.
Melissa Ochtemauer, speaking of other people you have lived with or been roommates with, Rufus Wainwright, did you recently live with him in Los Angeles? Was he a roommate for a long time?
Yes, he's been a roommate in a couple of situations. He lived with me, actually make jokes about this. It would seem that every time I moved to a new big American city, Rufus moved there within a year and then is living in my basement. So he lived with me in L.A. when he first moved out there, and then he lived with me in New York City when I first moved back there a few years ago. So we've been roommates twice, and as you know, our history goes back to high school, of course, so we had previous history of fun stuff before he was my roommate.
What was Rufus like way back when? Because I never really discovered him until he got basically famous, but I knew of you, Melissa Ochtemauer, through Tinker. And we're going to be playing one of your tracks here to wind up the Ardwetty Human Serviette Radio Show, Really, your song, Really, an early Tinker sandwich. But I never heard about Rufus. Where did he come? Like, was he doing music back then? Was he in smaller bands?
He's a whole other genre. The guy is, like, you know, not in our pop rock zone. He is a reincarnated, like, classical opera man. So he was playing at piano bars, you know, so he didn't even have to wait very long until he sent a demo to the president of DreamWorks, who then signed him within a week of hearing the demo. I mean, he's one of the most gifted musicians I've ever witnessed, and he basically didn't have to do very much other than record a couple of good songs and get signed. So, and it's a different, you know, it's not like you're going to go do a rock circuit of piano bars across the country, really.
Melissa Ochtemauer, Roseland Club here, winding up. Roseland in New York City. There's some significance there. Like, there was a big Hole gig, an important Hole gig at Roseland. What was your memories of Roseland?
Roseland, again, sort of very similar to Metropolis in Montreal, you're right, that I saw my first when Celebrity Skin. I've played there a few times. I don't remember if there was a big significant one. I remember we sold it out two nights in a row during the Celebrity Skin era, and that was a real big accomplishment because it's pretty large, and I've seen everyone play there from Queens of the Stone Age to Jeff Buckley to, I mean, every single band I think I've ever liked, I probably have seen at Roseland, but I don't remember a significant night in particular.
Wasn't there a night that Courtney jumped in the crowd? Actually, Courtney jumped in the crowd, I guess, every night at every gig,
exactly.
Pretty much. That's what I was wondering, because you were quoted as saying, Hole once had an awful Australian tour, but how could anything go wrong in a Hole? How could there ever be a bad gig with Hole? I mean, everything that happened was just indirectly amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it was just, everything was chaotic. And so the greatness was just in the chaos, obviously. It was just a mad situation. And I was in it for 5 years exactly, and it was just 5 years of complete insanity.
Somebody asked me about the dress, the famous dress that Courtney Love wears. Apparently when Courtney Love was in Babes in Toyland, and it was passed to Kat, and it was passed to you, and people are claiming to even end up with Kim of the Muffs. Do you know anything about this dress that I'm referring to, this baby dress? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think I might have been confused along the way that it was like one type of dress set, but a lot of, I mean, you know, I left Hole with a bunch of her clothes. She left, when I left, she had a bunch of my clothes. So I think that girls inevitably sort of, you know, trade clothes, but I vaguely remember one particular dress between her and Kat and maybe the girl from the Muffs, but then there was another story of a dress that I almost bought in San Francisco in 1991 when I was sneaking in to see Nirvana open up for Pearl Jam and the Chili Peppers at the Cow Palace. And I saved my $20 and didn't buy this gorgeous vintage dress on Haight and Ashbury that day. And I ended up sneaking my way into the after show party and saw Courtney Love on the arm of Kurt Cobain wearing the dress that I had been too broke to buy that day. And that was a funny story, and that years later, when I met Courtney and joined her band, I got that dress.
Revenge.
Yeah, no, I borrowed it from her. It wasn't revenge.
Revenge and Melissa off tomorrow. And Melissa here, just winding up, a couple more quick questions here. Mm-hmm. Patty, where is Patty? I had heard that she was teaching drums to Canadian rockers Lilix. Have heard of the band Lilix from Vancouver,
right,
British Columbia,
sure,
Canada?
Yeah. I have heard of that band. I said, didn't they do some, like, shampoo ad or something? Or a telephone ad or some, like, Tampax ad?
Yeah, they did some very big ad, and I think she was teaching drums to the drummer.
I'm sure she was. She might have, yeah, because she was living in L.A., and I'm, you know, often she still gets called upon for, like, girl drum things because there's so few of them, as we know. But I don't know. I fell out of touch with her years and years ago, but actually a weird coincidence. I hadn't seen her in about 4 or 5 years, and on Christmas Eve of this past year, I was celebrating Christmas with my family out there, my mother and my stepfather, my little brother, because my little brother went to school in Europe this past year, so he decided to spend Christmas in Paris, and I was at a little creperie in Paris, and I was sitting about 10 tables deep into the creperie, nighttime outside. I looked through the door, the window, and across the street, I made eye contact with Patty Schemmel, and our jaws dropped through from across the street, through a glass window, through a restaurant of, what are you doing here? And I ended up spending Christmas Day with Patty Schemmel, and that was the first time and the last time I've seen or spoken to her in 5 years.
I love that I learn something from you every time. It's amazing. What I learned there, Melissa Oftemauer, is the word creperie. I've never heard that word before. Creperie.
I know, and for a food man like yourself, it's very important to know that word.
The word creperie. And I'm going to see if we have a caller now. Caller, are you there?
Hello.
Hello, caller, are you there?
I am here.
Go ahead to Melissa Oftemauer.
You know what, Nardwar, we've made a grave mistake here.
What's that?
He's calling about the sports club.
No, the mistake is that I thought I was listening to CITR 101.9, Nardwar, the Human Serviette. In fact, I just realized that I was listening to a different station, and I called to ask what track was being played, so I'm truly sorry. I don't even know. Oh, Melissa Oftemauer, daughter of politician from Montreal.
That's right, yes.
Yes, you're very good. You're good at thinking on your feet there, caller.
Pleasure, Melissa and Nardwar, but...
Thank you.
I don't know what that song was, but I hope you find it.
Thank you, caller, and doot-doot-a-loot-doo.
Doot-doo.
All right, well, we'll just get it. Oh, that's all that was that. Okay, there. We cleared the line. Sorry, but Melissa, are you still there?
I am still here.
Melissa, this might be stretching it a little bit, but did you ever meet Darcy from the Smashing Pumpkins' sister at all?
Yes, I did.
I mention that because I met a guy who was girlfriends with her sister, I guess, this band.
Boy, that makes sense.
And he played in a band called Fortune and Maltese, a garage band from Chicago, and I was just going to play some after I play some Tinker.
That's very far stretch, but I did meet her when the Pumpkins were living in Los Angeles, and she used to go there to visit Darcy, yes.
And when you joined Hole, was Leslie Hardy in Hole before you? Do you know Leslie Hardy?
Yes, I do know Leslie, yeah.
Yeah, because she played with the Murder City Devils. When was Leslie Hardy in Hole? Because I always found it interesting. Leslie once said to me, I was in Hole, and I was like, what? Like,
you can see she's on the back of one of the 7-inch, one of the EPs or 7-inches. There's a picture of her, like, of just a 7-inch. She played right before Kristen Pfaff.
And what 7-inch is that? Is that like the...
I can't remember. I think Beautiful Sun or something. No, that was after. Maybe Beautiful Sun, because she was already with Kurt. Courtney was with Kurt, and it was right before they made the big Live Through This record. It was between, Teenage Horror and all that, and Live Through This.
Caller, are you there?
I am.
Go ahead to Melissa Oftemauer.
Hey, Melissa, I've always kind of liked you, even though I didn't really know you all that well.
Oh, geez, I can sort of hear you, something that always kind of liked me, except for something.
Oh, caller, can you speak up a bit louder? I know it might be touchy for you to say what you're saying, but if you could speak up a bit louder, please.
No, that's not the touchy part. I had a question about what you were reading.
Reading?
Yeah,
very, very good.
The reason I'm starting, because I always kind of like you, I thought you were kind of sharp, like kind of a cut above the normal rocker.
Oh, that's
stars,
nice.
Right?
Thank you. Maybe because they went to university. I don't know.
That'll kill it more than anything.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Maybe because I had crazy parents that read a lot and talked to me about fun stuff and travel a lot.
Yeah.
But I have the best book to recommend to you. And I just bought two copies of it actually today at Chapters over there on Robson, so I could give it to my two friends. It's called Pilgrim, and it's by a big Canadian author who, in fact, has died, unfortunately, called Timothy Findley.
Oh, I know, yeah.
And this novel, I think it's the last novel he wrote, I have a hard time reading fiction because I like to read historical, factual things. Like, I love to read biographies or the history of certain periods of art. And this is an amazing, fictional, massive, very big book about a very incredibly strange sort of man who never can't die, but he channels the story of the Renaissance in Florence, of everyone from Leonardo to Da Vinci, but nothing like the Da Vinci Code, I promise you. But the other main character in the book is Carl Gustav Jung, who is my favorite thinker of the modern times, and he's my favorite philosopher-psychologist, and he's the main character. So there's the history of him as well as the history of Renaissance Florence all through this. It's called a mystical, metaphysical thriller.
Yeah.
That's how they title it, of a type of book.
Well, thank you, caller, for phoning in, and thank you also for listening to the show. We appreciate that, caller.
Thank you, yes, Pilgrim.
You have reached CITR, by the way. You
were,
and doot-doot-a-loot-doo. Caller?
Caller? He left.
Oh, caller,
doot-doot-a-loot-doo. Yeah, doo-doo.
All right. And Melissa, we have one last email question here for you.
Okay.
It was emailed and it said, it's from a guy called Eddie, or via somebody that knows a guy called Eddie, and it said, Eddie says he used to babysit Melissa when she was a kid. He was a friend of her ma. Do you remember a guy called Eddie babysitting you at all, Melissa Oftemauer?
I don't remember. I went to high school with an Eddie, but he would have had to been older than me to babysit me. There's no last name?
No last name. He works at the CBC with David Wisdom, I think, so he's probably an older gentleman.
Oh, so there's many CBC people that might have babysat me because both my mother and father worked at the CBC,
and
so it's very possible.
And because your mom was one of the first radio DJs in Montreal, right? Not
That's
just
right.
Female DJs, but first DJs, period, wasn't it?
It was first female rock DJ.
And most off tomorrow, right now, we're going to end with a song called, how do you pronounce it, really?
It's actually, don't ask me why we squished it all together, but it's as simple as real lie, meaning a true lie, Nardwar. You know, there's plenty of them out there. It's real a lie, and then when you squish it together, it's real a lie. I don't know, real elite.
And this is a song by Tinker. Was Tinker your first band?
Yeah, first and only band, really. I mean, it's the first band I ever started. And, you know, otherwise I just joined other bands and now I'm a solo artist, I guess you would call me. So it's really my only band I've ever been in, Tinker. And that song is the only song that I wrote. It was actually the last song that Steve and I, my band member in Tinker, wrote. And last song we wrote before I joined Hole. And that was always a symbol of my past. So that's why it's on my new record. So one day maybe you can play it side to side with the one that's on my solo record and the one on the 7-inch.
It's released on Bear Records. Was that released after you were in Hole? Because it says New York. It's a New York label.
I was networking even before I was in Hole. But I was going down to NMS and CMJ, and I was handing out cassette demos of my band. I remember very well, cut and pasting the little artwork and going down to New York City and then handing out my. You remember that band Brainiac, which are one of my favorite bands. I'm sure you.
Yeah.
The guy didn't
die from that band, did he?
Unfortunately, he did die, yes.
The keyboard player.
The singer, yeah. Keyboard player, really incredible band. But, for example, there was a few bands that summer where right when I joined Hole, I was around handing out my little cassette copies, and they still had their cassette version of my band, Tinker, when I was in Hole. We'd always giggle.
So you went down in 1994 or 1993 or
93? I went down to quite a few summers in a row for the new music seminar, but 94, the summer of 94 was when I was handing it the cassette, and we, actually, you know what, with Bear, though, I met them in 93, so yeah, I put out the 7-inches, they came out the summer I ended up joining Hole.
It's amazing, you were like pioneering the Montreal sound in like 1993, getting out there doing it, just like the Gruesomes doing it, Morgenthaler's like, Montreal bands, like you said, have been always doing, I guess now it's just kind of been lucky, isn't it?
It's a nonstop source of creative. There's always going to be great bands coming out of Montreal, whether people are noticing it or not. But yeah, it's a very inspired city.
Did you ever work with Howard Billerman, the ex-Arcade Fire drummer?
Yeah, he recorded Tinker's very, very, very first demos. The ones that I was handing out in cassette format, Howard Billerman recorded.
Is he still in the Arcade Fire?
No, he has remained like a local in Montreal recording and engineering at the Hotel Tango. So no, he's no longer in the Arcade Fire, which I think might have been a little bit of a bad scene that I heard about, but I'm not sure.
Well, thank you very much for phoning into the Nardwar to Human Serviette radio show, Melissa Ofdu.
Yes, Nardwar, it's such a pleasure. And when I was having coffee this morning with Sam before he was going off to the airport and he heard me say, hi, Nardwar, he got all perky and said, say hi to him for me. And then when we got off the phone, you and I, Sam told me that when Interpol had met you, that Carlos, who's obviously the wonderful freak of that band, really is extremely inspired and excited by you and watches your videos all the time on the bus, and they all refer to Nardwar as Carlos's favorite Canadian guy.
Wow, well, thank you for the kind words and relaying that message. That's very nice of us, Ofdu. And thank you for the kind words as well, and congratulations on the David Suzuki nomination for the greatest Canadian. I'm sorry you lost to George Strombolopoulos. I'm sorry.
Me too.
It might have been rigged because he ended up getting a show on the CBC.
I know, right?
And you didn't get no show, so maybe it was nothing in the
world. I offered to be a weather girl for the show, but they turned it down.
Really?
No,
it was cool that you vouched for David Suzuki. So anything else to add to the people out there about Melissa Ofdu? What are we going to be hearing from you next, vocally?
I'm going to record my new album this summer into the fall. So the top of 2006, I'll be touring and releasing a new record again. And I'll be sure to be hanging out with Nardwar when I do so.
Well, thank you very much, Melissa. Really appreciate your time. Coming up now, real... lie by Tinker 1994, Tinker that stole an opening spot for my band, The Evaporators, in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, when I met you that night. I can't believe, like, I met you before it all happened at Cafe Campus. It was Cub, The Evaporators, and Tinker. And actually, I went to do a CBC interview with Bent Brambury. The CBC ties all together, like this Eddie email and the greatest Canadian and your mom involved with it. Man, it's just so much. That's why it's so great you joined me on the Nerdwater Human Sort Radio Show, which is not the CBC, but still is radio here in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
It really is. The two biggest things that bring us together is human flesh and music, love of music. We are humans, and music will always be the connecting block between all of us.
Well, thanks so much, Melissa. Safe flight to Calgary, Alberta, home of Feist, too. Home of Feist.
Is she from Calgary?
Yes, originally from Calgary. Feist. Feist.
She's wonderful. She's great.
And, well, keep on rocking in the free world, Melissa, off tomorrow, and doo-doo-da-loot-doo.
Coo-doo-coo-doo-coo-doo-coo-doo-doo.
All right, talk to you later.
Bye-bye, Nerdwar.
Bye.
So beautiful.
again, you're still listening to CITR FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And that was Tinker with Real Lie. And before that, an interview with Tinker's Melissa Off-DeMauer. And still in the studio right now before the CITR news, we have...
Rocky and Dina.
Well, thank you for bringing in little tidbits of music to play in an Art Buddy Human Serviette radio show, all indirectly relating to Melissa Off-DeMauer, even though really we didn't even intend it to happen. For instance, we were about to play, but we didn't play some King Kong. And how does King Khan relate to Melissa Off-DeMauer, Rocky? Maybe a bit closer to the mic there we could get you.
Well, he was in the space shits in Montreal.
Whoops. From Montreal.
Yeah.
And, of course, the space shits were descendants of the Gruesomes from Montreal. And right now we're going to end an Ardwater Human Serviette radio show with Fortune and Maltese, a live bootleg album by them. Anything else you want to add about Fortune and Maltese? Dina, Rocky, were saying that Freddie Fortune has got married to a Gorgo girl.
Yeah, to a Gorgo girl.
Amy from the Gorgo girl.
Yeah, and we saw them play. Fortune Maltese got back together last September. They played the Las Vegas Rock Around. They were great.
And... again, the connection to Melissa Off-DeMauer is, I don't know, did you hear the connection there? That Darcy from the Smashing Pumpkins, who Melissa Off-DeMauer replaced, Darcy's sister went out with Mike Maltese from Fortune and Maltese, because Fortune and Maltese are from Chicago. So it all comes together, and this is Fortune and Maltese from Chicago, a live bootleg recording. So anything else you want to add to the people out there at all, Dina or Rocky?
Well, thanks, Nardwar, for having us on, and...
Yeah, it's been a blast.
Yep.
And check out your blog at...
streetsyoucrossed.blogspot.com.
One more time, that's...
streetsyoucrossed@blogspot.com.
All right, well, thanks so much. Keep on rocking in the free world, and do-do-do-do-do.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're Fortune Maltese and the Fabulous Pallbearers. Glad to see everybody here tonight. All right. This little thing called... the Bummer! You know I'm being seen there. Ain't no sort of feeling you. I'm sitting on this thing there. Can't take it living with you. I don't want you with my kind. Step a lot, get out of my mind. Let me back in the hand.
Got the notion that anything big was happening was probably Glastonbury, because that was incredible. The reaction we got, I took a camera out on stage and I've got the photos back. It's staggering how many people were.
While 2005 promises some huge events, what really fuels our lust for live music?
I can sit and watch a video of Nebworth and go, wow, but it's not the same as being there, you know, and you can listen to the recordings back, but it's not the same as being in the field with all them people.
Join me, Steve Lamack, as I discuss the state of the UK live music scene, concluding this Saturday night at 8, here on BBC Radio 2.